Well, that's how the players are announced at the Paris Masters tournament. The weapons-grade sound system belts out some throbbing music, and the spectators roar for their heroes. It's the last competition of the year for most of the men on the circuit. When they're out, it's the start of the holidays or training camps. The season's top eight players go on to London for the ATP end-of-year championships. The last couple of places for that event are usually also decided in Paris. Those slots were one of the narratives coming out of the Paris Masters. Another was Rafael Nadal's views on Catalonia's bid to break away from Spain.
In my situation, it's very difficult to answer these kind of things because things are very, let's say, sensitive in my country. So anything that I can say will not go the right way because, you know, there is always people that are going to be against that. So for me, it's the most important thing, or the real thing for me, is a sad situation, and this at the same time is a difficult situation because it's difficult to talk 100% free about the situation because you're going to create damage on some people, and is enough damage already created. So the only thing that I want is the things gets better. I don't want a fracture between people in Catalonia. I feel close to Catalonia. I love the people in Catalonia, and most of the Spanish people feel the same love for Catalonia, and that's it. And for that's the reason that's why we are sad about that situation.
While the territorial integrity of Spain exercises the minds of lawyers and politicians, the end-of-year status of one of the country's most famous sons was very much in the spotlight. When the world number two Roger Federer withdrew just before the start of the Paris Masters, it meant that Nadal had the chance to seal the position of year-end world number one. There's a lot of ballyhoo around this accolade because since rankings were computerized in August 1973, there have been 26 male world number ones. However, only 17 of them have been top of the pile on December the 31st. Nadal enjoyed the status of end-of-season world number one for the first time back in 2008. And to savour the kudos once again, Nadal needed to get past the South Korean player Hyeon Chung. He did so on Wednesday afternoon, dispatching his 21-year-old opponent 7-5, 6-3, to the delight of the crowds on centre court. It will be the fourth time that Nadal will end the year as world number one. As well as that first occasion in 2008, he was numero uno on December the 31st in 2010 and 2013. 4 years later, he's the main man. It's not what was expected after spending much of 2016 off the circuit due to injury.
No, of course it was not a goal. It was impossible for me to think about that when you are coming back from a tough period of time without playing tennis and with so many injuries in the last couple of years. But yes, here we are, happened, and very happy. Of course, means a lot, no? After almost 10 years since the first time that I finished the year with this number. So I think it's a very important achievement, and it's an important achievement for itself. Finish the world, the year like world number one is different than being the world number one. For me, have much more value finish the year than be number one at the middle of the season. Even both things are important, but it's different. And that big gap between the first time and this time, that's so difficult now. I mean, means a lot to be able to keep playing at this level after that long time.
Nadal's rise to the top spot follows a spectacular season in which he's won Grand Slams at the French and US Opens, as well as events in Monte Carlo, Barcelona, Madrid and Beijing. He was the beaten finalist at the Australian Open and also lost in the final at the Miami Masters. He's been the dominant force on the men's circuit, and at the ripe old age of 31, he's in a good position to pass judgment on the next generation of rising stars, which includes Chung.
Well, good. No, I think there's, of course, a new group of great players, and he's so quick. He has a good rhythm from the baseline. He's always the same. He's all about keep improving all the time. And if he's able to keep improving every year, we will be talking about a player with chances to fight for important things.
High praise indeed. Nadal's been racking up important things since he burst onto the scene wearing pirate shorts and claiming his first French Open title in 2005. Another nine have followed in Paris. He also has two Wimbledons, three US Opens, and one Australian Open. With 16, he's second behind Federer's 19 on the all-time Grand Slam winners list. There have been 59 other titles for Nadal, and he's amassed €100 million in prize money. To all intents and purposes, he has the winning mentality. But it's not that simple, says Nadal.
The fine winning mentality. It's not about winning mentality, no. It's about the passion for what you're doing. It's about the mentality of waking up every morning with the right motivation to go on court and improve something. That's the winning mentality, no. More than everybody wants to win when we are competing and when we are on a tennis court. Another thing is wake up every morning with the passion to go on court and with the passion to improve something and practice every day with the right attitude to try to make that happen. So that's another story. No, that's not everybody is able to do it. So for me, that's the winning mentality. Do the right things to try to give you chances to be a better player.
But does winning actually help as well? Does that fire the passion?
Yeah, but it's everything combined, no? So, of course, the victories helps to keep going on court with the passion because you believe that if you are doing well and you keep practicing well, you're gonna keep having chances to have success. But in the other way, if you don't practice with the right passion every day, probably you will not be in that position, no? So. It's true that I have been for a lot of time almost always with that winner dynamic, let's say. No, you know, I have been winning a lot during almost all the time in my career, no? But I had periods of time that I have been injured. I have periods of times that I was not winning. So. And when that happened, I keep, of course, I had doubts. Of course, you believe in yourself. Everybody says, you know, it's important to believe in yourself. But at the end of the day, for me, it's not about believing on yourself. It's belief on your work, you know. You have to believe on your work. Then when you win, you believe in yourself. When you don't win, you don't believe that much in yourself. But if you are able to believe in the work of every day, then you're going to have the chance to win again, probably, no. And that's what I did well, I think, all my life.
Barring injuries, Nadal will go to the end-of-season championships in London as the man to beat. Federer will be there as second seed, along with the rising stars Dominic Thiem and Alex Zverev. Heading into London this time last year, the battle for end-of-year number one was between Andy Murray and Novak Djokovic. Murray emerged victorious from that fight. There won't be such intrigue this year in London. Just a good old-fashioned scrap to claim the title, because Rafael Nadal is the end-of-year top man.
You're the top. You're the Colosseum. You're the top. You're the Louvre Museum.
Well, that's it from Sports Insight for this week. My thanks to Alain Bleu for studio production. From me, Paul Myers, ciao.
you're a Mickey Mouse. You're the Nile. You're the Tower of Pisa. You're the smile of the Mona Lisa. I'm a worthless check, a total wreck, a flop. But if baby I'm the bottom, you're the top. You're the top. You're Mahatma Gandhi. You're the top. You're Napoleon Brandy. You're the purple light of a summer night in Spain. You're the National Gallery, you're Garbo Salary, you're a cellophane. You're sublime. You're a turkey dinner. You're the time of the Derby winner. I'm a toy balloon that's fated soon to pop. But if baby I'm a bottom, you're the top. You're the top. You're a Waldorf salad. You're the top. You're a Berlin ballad. You're the nimble tread of the feet of Fred Astaire. You're an O'Neill drama, you're a Whistler's mama, you're a Comma Bear. You're a rose, you're Inferno's Dante. You're the nose on the great Durante. I'm a lazy lout who is just about to stop. But if baby, I'm